Face the camera. Can you hear me all right?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little quiet. Let me just turn up my volume.
Well, here, I can also notice that my left headphone mic is not as loud as my right. Let me switch that. Is that a little better?
Yes.
That's so weird.
Are you also at Cornell?
No, I'm at UMass Amherst with the five colleges.
Oh, a lot of our people are at Cornell. All over in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, where are you?
Texas. So I'm
Oh,
out.
yeah.
I know Whitney's not going to be able to make it today. She was feeling sick.
Yeah, how many? I guess we've only had a few meetings, but how many people usually show up?
Usually see four or five, but it depends on everyone's schedules. Friday's
Yeah.
a popular meeting day. I don't know why.
I tend to schedule things on Friday because I never have standing meetings on Fridays. So, yeah, that might be part of it.
I wonder if any of them are on spring break this week.
UMass is.
That would also affect it if a lot of people are on vacation.
Yeah.
We're recording, so we'll go through it all anyway, so anyone who misses can catch up. Let's go ahead and start. Oh, welcome to the privacy meeting for March 20th. Let's get started. We have new page on the sync page here. Can you see it?
Yes.
So, since most of the values that we'd like to anonymize in Folio are also tracked in MetaDB, but MetaDB is one module instead of 20, I'm making a list of all the values that we would like to be able to anonymize or that require consideration from MetaDB and just use those as a wish list for modules that we need to get after in Folio itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we don't use MetaDB at the five colleges, and it's been a long time since I was on the reporting SIG. Does MetaDB just grab everything from the Folio database, or is it still only selected tables?
It's a lot of them. I don't know if it's all of them. We could pull them straight from the module database, and there was some consideration about which one would be easier to grab from. Do y'all have direct access to your module database?
No, we use LD Lite to pull our data through the APIs.
Will be light. I wonder if. Does LD Lite have most of the tables that are in it, or is it less
So
complete?
it's pretty customizable. It's usually less complete, just because we have to rely on the APIs to get at the data. And I'm not sure if all of the backend tables are actually accessible through the API, even through like the storage module endpoints. I'm not sure if everything is accessible that way.
Might not be. Are y'all hosted through index data?
EBSCO.
That's good. This might not be as useful as I was hoping then.
I think it's a good starting point, at least, even if it's not 100% complete.
That's true. As a wish list, it continues to work. And none of these will do anything useful until those values actually have anonymization in Folio, which most of
Yeah.
these don't. So I suppose there is that, but you won't be able to add to the list probably.
Yeah, I'm looking at it and it's not loading on my end. I don't know if.
The database itself.
Yeah, it's just hanging on the loading bar most of the way full. Yeah, like at that point is where I'm hanging. Another thing that I think that development teams have been trying to cover, but I'm not sure how complete the work is. The logs that Folio generates on the back end
Yes.
have previously had PII in them. And I know, like, at least with the Valeris team, with working with the user's app, there's been some effort to clean that up and get rid of that information from the logs, but I'm not sure how complete that work is. Might see if I can find Jira tickets for it.
The database went down just now. Back at my end. Maybe yours will load now.
Give it a try.
Was loading. It's weird. You know if any of the test environments are still up, the public ones?
The like snapshot environments or bug fest.
Either.
So the daily snapshot environment is up, and I believe Sunflower Bug Fest is still available. Yeah. But not all of the Ramsons environments are up still. Yeah, the Ramsons Eureka environment isn't up, but the other ones are.
There MetaDB access to those?
I don't think so. Although, maybe because I think the LDLite app is included in Bugfest. Let me look at that actually.
Strange. Maybe it'll only load for one of us at a time.
Not ideal.
No, but I was noticing earlier that I also can't like move my cursor with my mouse, so maybe Atlassian's stuff is just a little bit janky.
I'm not seeing the reporting app on Bugfest, so maybe. Yeah, maybe it's not on here. Maybe would index data potentially have a snapshot or test environment? I don't know.
Oh, and Peter's not here today, so we might have to ask him at the next meeting. A&M's a little unique in that we're one of the self-hosters. So all of our everything is hosted on our own machines. So we have complete access to it.
Yeah, we self-hosted when we were on Olive, but decided to offload it for our move to Folio.
It's definitely a trade-off. Although we are in talks right now to add more Texas schools to our system and host a multi-tenant for most of Texas.
Oh, cool.
Seems like we're getting pretty good cost savings from doing that. So maybe the five colleges will watch our success.
Yeah, that would. We've gone back and forth on if we want to move to a multi-tenant environment. Because when we went live initially, ECS functionality wasn't mature enough for what we needed. But since then, it's improved a lot. So it comes up every release. Like, is this the one that we want to start looking at moving to ECS? But
No, Germany's doing it. There is a self-hosting implementers group. And they're working together on supporting people who want to do multi-tenant and self-host. So if y'all start thinking about it again, let us know. Least get you in the email list.
yeah, definitely. I'm looking through the reporting SIGs wiki pages to see if they have anything about a test environment on here.
So I'm not sure anybody who isn't self-hosting is going to be able to get at their own module database.
Yeah.
Well, that is a more rigorous method of finding out who has private information is just to go through all of their own storage.
Yeah, that would do it.
Takes a while, though. There's a lot of modules.
Yeah, we could also maybe look at the modules on GitHub do include like the information on the structure of their own databases. I don't know how easy it would be to extract it from all of them in a usable format or readable format, but might also be an option if we can't get at an actual environment.
Let's see. Well, I know a lot of places do have MetaDB up and running. Probably more MetaDB than ModuleDB access.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You able to show the structure of LD Lite without any accidental disclosures?
Let's see, I can, let me open DBVert. I should be able to at least look at like table names and column names, which would help, at least assuming the columns are named,
Yeah.
hopefully.
Does LD Lite have a bunch of stuff in JSON format?
So no, it the way LD Lite works is it makes the API requests to get the JSON data, and then it flattens it into tables and like related tables for if a JSON object has a lot of nesting, it will create related tables.
So it's kind of like the transform tables in MetaDB.
Yeah, I think so.
How well does it handle arrays? Because MetaDB just skips over it when there's an array of things inside the JSON object.
I think it just leaves it as an array or as like a string listing the array, but I'd have to look because there aren't too many of those.
I do not want to flip through the module storage databases. It's like they aren't optimized for people to do this.
All right, as long as this is only opening information about the tables, I shouldn't, there shouldn't be any risk of revealing any data. And I could also, actually, I did this at some point. I wrote a query that just extracts the table structure from our LDLite database. Let me see if that query still exists. It was several years ago.
I know you can pull it from information schema if you need to.
Yeah, let's see.
Switch out the production database. Wow.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Found my query that pulls from the table schema.
Are you able to share your screen?
Yeah, give me one second. I'm just cleaning up the query a little. Okay, let's here. All right. So this is just grabbing these are the schemas that we have. And I'm not grabbing from all of them because I think some of these are, yeah, not useful. And some of these are newer than the query that I'm running. But right now it's just pulling from the schema all the tables and putting all the column names into a string aggregated column, which if we exported this, I could just break that up into additional columns.
Cool.
So, like you can see here, when the JSON gets flattened, like the administrative notes object gets broken up into its own table that has the same holdings IDs, so we can join between the tables when we're writing reports and need to get specific information from one of those smaller objects in the JSON. So some of these tables, like users, doesn't have a ton.
See, it's one of the ones that never worked, right? Instance contributors.
Instance.
What about identifiers?
Contributors.
What do you get for instance identifiers?
Under contributors or under just instance?
Just under instance, there's an array for identifiers.
Oh, yep, here we go. Title, HRID. Let me put this somewhere where it's a little more readable. Title, HRID, discovery suppress. Those are all, I think, in all of the instance tables. And then identifiers value, identifier type ID.
Interesting, because I don't think any of those are normal values, but they're not values that would be in. Let me show you what's in ours. That's screen sharing. Do you see a CBeaver window?
Yeah.
Huh. The usual outline isn't there. So our identifiers array in the MetaDB is all of these identifiers as a list.
Yeah. So in ours, each of those identifiers ends up as a separate line in the instance identifiers table. So like that one had 4 or 5 different identifiers on there. So for us, each there would be separate rows for each of those, where
Oh,
you'd have, like on this one, you've got three identifiers, the OCLC number, and the other two, those would each in our database appear as separate lines in the table.
Interesting. Our transform tables just don't have it at all, which is inconvenient. But there's a separate one for the instance identifiers because it's such an important thing that it has its own derived table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know that LD Lite is going to be as productive. I mean, you can certainly try to pull which things are user information out of there, but it just won't be as complete.
Yeah, I don't know if MetaDB has this issue, but one thing that we deal with LD Lite is like when the APIs return the JSON, they don't always have consistent labeling on fields across apps. And so like one app might refer to something as that it's specifically with the like ERM apps tend to use different naming conventions for fields. See if I can find a specific example.
There's definitely a few where instead of just a standard user ID, we've got patron ID or requester ID or something. Hey, Jen.
Hello, I'm sorry to come in halfway through.
It's all good. At least you're here. Jen, do y'all have MetaDB?
We do. I'm just looking at your wiki page now.
Is it loading for you?
Yes, although it is loading in edit mode, strangely, but anyway, yes, it yeah, I can see it. Is it not working for you?
It wasn't earlier. Jen, you're Cornell, right?
Yes. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, feel free to add to that database of,
So I'm wondering actually looking, have you guys have been talking to the MetaDB SIG about this, right?
yes, in that I'm also on the reporting SIG, so.
Sorry, right, the reporting SIG. Because aren't they also building a table like this?
Yes, we're trying to coordinate. We are trying to find which values in MetaDB need to be anonymized. But for the MetaDB side of it, until those values are anonymized in Folio, there's no point. So there's not much urgency behind it.
I see. Okay, I guess I was just wondering if we were building two, if we were building the list of fields together, or if we're, each group is building their own list, or
It would be good to collaborate, but I know that it's where did
I mean,
my
if you know you're
opinion?
further along, I don't want to throw you off track.
So, by all means, my reporting sync thing.
I think the there's a MetaDB privacy. I don't know if it's a working group.
Yeah, sub-sig thing.
Yeah.
Also on.
The only other re the other thing about them, and if you're already, it's because I know they already spend a lot of time tracking the fields in Folio, especially on new releases, trying to figure out what the impact is going to be on reporting. So they might have some things figured out about making lists like this.
Yes, I'll have to get after them on the next meeting for for either of them.
And I know Sharon, so Sharon was came to, so at Cornell we have our own like committee meeting and we had ours yesterday and she came and presented on the privacy work that the MetaDB privacy group is doing. So there, it definitely sounded, at least from listening to her, like they were making progress. So maybe we can piggyback on theirs. But I think you're right in that our role is to make really clear to people that MetaDB is kind of has to follow Folio, and like we're doing some workarounds in our MetaDB to anonymize on demand. But if we could get certain things fixed in Folio or changed Folio, it would be easier.
Would be easier. And the more we dig through, the more things we. I remember that the privacy subsig had, the MetaDB privacy sig had a list of modules where they were concerned there might be PII, but I don't remember a field level list yet.
Okay.
But I'll ask you, Sharon, about it. It would make sense for us to share across one since it is the same list.
Yeah. If we could at least put the list in the same place, that would help.
Maybe we could add a column for which ones had actually been anonymized at Folio yet.
Right. Because as far as I know, the only it was like the requests that were the big outstanding thing in Folio, and Five Colleges is making progress on that, I believe.
Yes. Amelia is in charge of that, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. That was like the one big hole left, I think.
Oh, there's several.
Oh,
Yeah,
there's
this is
several.
another.
Okay.
This is a
All
very
right.
incomplete list of just ones I went through and started it with, but we know there's several important hotspots. Email specifically is quite gnarly.
All right. So what is Five Colleges working off of? Like, are you planning to keep going past requests and turn to
So.
other things? Sorry.
Right now, requests is as far as we are planning to work on things. There are some internal politics on whether this development is a priority. And so I don't know how long we'll be able to continue, like running a development team. Like I personally would like us to have this be a long-term project. And we have committed to supporting request anonymization for 2 years after the initial release.
Wow.
But beyond that, I can't really say right now. And I can update that we don't think we'll be ready for Trillium. So we are gonna The first part of request anonymization won't be coming until Umbrella Leaf.
Okay.
Do y'all
So,
have, sorry, do y'all have a privacy and retention policy for your loan and request data?
in general, our retention policy is pretty it's pretty broad. In general, we only retain data as long as we need it, at least at UMass. So that means fee fines need to be retained for at least 2.5 years, because of state record laws. But our automatic loan anonymization, I believe, is set to 2 weeks. Let me double check that. 2 weeks after the loan is closed, if it didn't have a fee fine on it. And I think we're gonna aim for something similar for requests once that's available.
so I know one of the nice pressure points with administrations is, hey, we don't know if you really need to be doing this work. It's like, well, you're not in compliance with your own policy at the moment.
Yeah, that's how we got them to agree to what we're already working on. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's why I was saying requests was the big hole, because for us at least, that was the thing that was clearly in violation of what we wanted to be doing. Because it's specifically about borrowing and requesting records versus, kind of everybody's got your campus email.
Well, the Folio email module saves all of the emails it sends out. So if you
Oh,
request a book, there's an email stored in the database that says, hey, Jen Colt checked out Twilight 2. And it has, and it's not de-identified in any way. It's title and name in a text field.
So, sorry. So that's news to me. So how did you find that out? And is that documented anywhere?
It was brought up in, I believe, the MetaDB privacy subsig. But it has made it to our list. It's on our anonymization fields.
Okay.
But it's one of the ones we have to find. And that one's particularly gnarly because it doesn't require anything else to corroborate it. Like, you don't need the user's table, you don't need anything but that email text to say, hey, you turned in this book late. Hey, your request is ready for you to pick up. It's all that information linked together in one single string.
Yeah. What is it? Actual cost billing table. It's not all in one field, but that also includes username and title in the same table.
For
Or
the fee fines?
like the item tied to the fine.
Yeah, fee
And
fines is going to be a big one. I know that orders, if you request a book and it is purchased, then your name as the requester for the book ends up in the orders module frequently as the person to deliver the book to. So it's another spot where this is your checkout history. Hiding in plain text in a different module.
yeah, the purchase order line one we knew about. And
It doesn't
I
happen
had
as
that on a
much.
list for things that we were going to like write a ad hoc script for. But yeah. Okay. Oh, this is depressing. Sorry.
It was.
That's why there's a whole sig for it.
I know. It just feels like we've been just neglecting it. But I think that's
Yes, that is the case. And that's one of the ones where it's in MetaDB, but that won't fixing it in MetaDB doesn't fix it because it's live in the modules. And so until we get after the email module, whatever notify module has the emails in it. Until we get after them to do anonymization, won't help to clear it out in MetaDB.
yeah. And I think that's part of the reason like we weren't thinking about it at Cornell is we've mostly been thinking about like things we interact with a lot with for reporting, but we're never trying to report out of the email module, right? So like it's not like we were paying attention to what was in there.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Folio Audit had some too.
we found the email table because our billing folks wanted to have be able to reference the text of the specific message that a patron received in case they claimed that they didn't receive it or something like that. So yeah, that's how we originally came across it. And I think I'm looking through my notes. I think there was another thing that I found with loan anonymization where I think it might have been the notice entries related to a loan were not anonymized fully. I need to see if I can find that in my notes.
you can find an entry for it. So for this list, for this wish list thing, Jen, Amelia and I were discussing that not everybody has MetaDB. Like, they're on LD Lite, and even fewer people have direct access to their module database. Does Cornell have access to their module database?
No, that's why we ended up with MetaDB.
Because y'all are through index data, right?
No, we're through EBSCO,
You're
but we
also
threw
through
a fit
EBSCO.
that we didn't have access to our data. And so that's why they agreed to host MetaDB for us. Sorry
Oh.
to be blunt. We're
No,
recording. I shouldn't be blunt.
it's fine. No one watches these.
Yeah, we at the five colleges don't have MetaDB because EBSCO. only would host it for us with a very large additional charge
Yeah.
in addition to our other hosting costs. And I think it was just too much for us at the time.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of work for them.
A lot of work for us as
Okay.
self-hosters.
Yeah. Which school are you with, Andrew?
Texas A&M.
Oh, you're with A&M. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yes, you guys do a lot of work. And you lost Jason. You got
We
poached.
did. Well, that's what we get for not letting him work on the fun stuff.
Oh, I found what I have been thinking of in the circ log. It was actually for fee fines. The log records contain the barcode for the user and item. I believe for the notice, the fine, the notice, and the payment log entries, I believe all contain user barcode and item ID. Or and item barcode rather.
Yeah, they've also got a link to IDs field that includes the user ID sometimes, which is going to be a great deal of fun to null out later. We're going to have to use the null for that one. At least link to IDs is not an array. It's array handling deeply complicates some of this stuff. Especially when you have to use SQL to actually change things instead of just pull them out.
So I know you're getting towards the end of this. I don't want to throw, but I was wondering a little if you guys have proposed anything for WolfCon.
Not yet, but we've been thinking about it. Do you think we should?
Yes. You can propose something without having a lot of detail. Like your proposal could literally be a panel discussion of the current state of privacy in Folio. And then
That is an
that leaves
entirely
you a lot of
reasonable idea.
options for what you do from there, but gets you the time reserved. I
It's
definitely
true.
think you should be represented. I also know the security group reached out to me, Craig, to sit wondering if we might be interested in something at the intersection of security and privacy. So that's another option. But I would definitely at least reserve the time. And you can just, put yourself as the presenter and just say panelists' names to come. It's
Sense. That's
not
one of the
like,
ones where we have to physically get there, right?
no, they do hybrid. I mean, if you
Did
want to
they?
make an argument to your institution to pay for you to go to Prague, you could. But they'll do virtual presenters.
I did hear. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I did hear that they this year they want that they'll allow hybrid presentations, but they do want at least one person in person to like manage questions from the audience and things like that. Because I believe last year there were some issues with it. And so this year they want to make sure that for each presentation or session that there's at least one person there in the room to keep things moving. And I think they also had issues with things not finishing on time.
That makes
Makes
sense.
sense.
Yeah. I think you could, even if you don't have that person locked down, you could find someone who's interested in the session to do it for you. Whitney, I know, is asking money from Cornell. Things are so difficult here. I don't know if she'll get it. But that is you, that's at least one person that has a possibility of being there. And there's other people I think who would be interested who would help you out. Or again, you can use it as justification.
There was some talk about who was going to go and how, so I might I'm gonna add this to the action items for this meeting. I know my boss is going to be there, so I might just lean on him to do the presenting, or say, hey, if you can't get me there in person, then you have to do it.
Well, and I still think you could do the presenting if he's just there to kind of introduce and close the session, it sounds like, and maybe manage questions in the room. So, because you'd still kind of want you, as the person who's been doing all the work, to be able to do the presentation. I guess
Some of the
depending
work,
on the
at least.
time, maybe.
Do you know if Whitney is going to try and go?
She is going to try and go, but money is so tight here. I'm her supervisor. I have no idea if she'll get funded or not.
Fair
Like,
enough.
we don't know what they're going to do.
Well, the proposal deadline is the 25th, so I guess I will put that one on the fast track. I'll get with Sharon about the since Sharon is also on the reporting and MetaDB privacy groups, I'll see with her about combining these fields into one that all of our groups can share somehow. That way people can add to this. I would like everybody to be able to populate this because obviously, we're all discovering spots where PII is leaking and retention is happening accidentally.
Yeah. And at some point, you'll want to like go probably make a presentation to the product council. I don't know how often that happens.
Well, I have to do that at some point because we don't have a liaison with the product council at the moment.
Oh, did they didn't give you one?
Nope, or at least not as far as I know. And I feel like that if anyone knew that one of the co-chairs would have to.
But they approved the SIG. I thought they, I'm only on technical counsel, so I can't. I would bug them.
It may be that we had one before the privacy sig went dormant for a couple of years.
Right. It might have been even been Peter, but now he's on community council instead.
That's possible. Yeah, I have to bug them for it at one of their meetings. I don't even know when they meet. I guess I could bother my boss is on the technical council. Or is he on the product council?
Is it Jeremy?
Yes.
Yeah, he's, oh yeah, bother him. He's co-chair of the PC, isn't he?
I think so. Well, last time I bothered him, he said you have to show up to a meeting and ask for it. So I guess I'll
Ah, okay.
do that again.
Just because I feel like one thing that will help with all this stuff is, frankly, being loud.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, that to the yeah, that's the action items too. Although this was,
Be
I think, one of our
loud.
first action items, in fact, was
Yeah,
to
I
get
think
a
one thing that would be interesting as a side activity is for these places, these fields that you're listing, is to go look at the PII form that that module has in its GitHub repository and see if it's accurate. Like, did it reflect that those emails were going to be stored?
a good idea.
Just so we have an idea of how well that's worked out.
Are there any other columns on that that would make sense? I was thinking about adding another column for where those values were in the module DB, but not that many people have access to the module DB. So, and I guess fewer people than I realized have the MetaDB either. Do we want a column for currently being anonymized in Folio so that we would know that it was time to hand that off to the MetaDB group?
That seems like a good idea. So, because we know that there's a difference between because of the historical stuff in MetaDB. I
Yeah,
think that's a good idea.
everything that shows up in this list will eventually have to be. Can I not reorder the fields? I'd like to reorder. There we go.
Does LD Light have the historical problem?
Al Daylight doesn't store historical data. It's a full refresh every time. So,
That's good.
no.
Yeah, so in that way, LD Light has put you in a better position.
There we go. Now we have a column for which ones are currently being anonymized. So that gives us at least priority for MetaDB. Because, yeah, I don't think we're any of us are in compliance with any kind of retention thing as long as these older leaks are still hanging out. And the edit history is an ongoing problem.
And
There was
I,
a problem back in LDP1 too.
ugh. And I, we're, so I'm also on, we have a privacy council at Cornell that I'm on, and we're actually in the middle of doing a privacy audit for the first time. And we did our interview with the Folio person, who's Tom, and he didn't mention any of these other areas, like the email stuff. So that means that even he doesn't know about them.
I
So,
would believe it.
yeah.
We're verging on counter forensics at this point. Like, these aren't spots where people realized that there was a privacy choice being made.
Yeah.
But it's one where we have to, I mean, we have to do it. Well, let me, I hope you'll give some presentations at some point on the outcomes of that privacy audit, at least the folio parts.
Oh yeah, people are interested. We're working off of NYPL had some a privacy audit like webinar or something, and so we're working off some of the documents that they had. I can put them in our Slack if you want to see them. Like we're using their template,
Sure.
but it's really hard because it is dependent on like what the person that's like the local product owner knows about their system. And like as this is showing, they don't always know everything.
Oh yeah, if you're depending entirely on the product owners to know, then it's very dicey.
Yeah, so this is what we're doing is very interview based. And then, you can look at the privacy policies of places, but that also is dicey. I did add Cornell's privacy policy to your page.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things I'm finding is that people's privacy policies are not in one place. They're frequently scattered around. I know Cornell's fee fines retention stuff for the state law requirements shows up in a completely different place than their actual privacy policy usually does.
Right. Well, and also because there's multiple layers, right? There's like the university policy, and then there's the promises that the library makes. And the library is often trying to make a better promise than the university. But yeah.
I mean, it still works because as long as it's you can just go to the highest policy that you have violations for when seeking funding and authorization to fix stuff. Cool. All right, well, we are at time. This has been very productive. Thank you both for your contributions today.
Yeah, thank you for all the depressing news.
Hey, it's motivational, right? There's plenty of work.
That's true.
There's job security. Oh, scheduling. Next meeting. We need to, real quick before we go. Y'all want to do another month? I don't know that we'd have enough for a 2 weeks meeting.
Month sounds good.
Oh, cool. It's recurring. We already have one set for the 17th. April 17th is our next one.
Great.
All right. Well, I hope to see you all there. Have a good
Thank
one.
you.
Have a good one.